Welcome to Changed by Love Radio with Pastor Jim Kevney. Pastor Jim's desire is to teach the Word of God with passion and simplicity, as well as a direct application to our daily lives.
It's personal. And that is despite all of our weaknesses. That is despite all of our failures. But however, I must tell you something. Some of us, we hear our voice and we stay in the pen. And if you're not a follower of Jesus, I am so glad that you're here. I really am.
How does it feel when you're being treated as if you were just a number? What's your student ID? What's your driver's license number? With billions of people in the history of the world, do you know what your Jesus number is? Today, Pastor Jim emphasizes you're not just a number to Jesus. He knows you by name. Jesus is the true shepherd, and he knows the name of every single one of his sheep, and he calls you by name. Will you come out of the sheep pen and follow him? Well, let's join Pastor Jim in the book of John chapter 10 as he continues his message, Jesus the True Shepherd.
Jesus talks to these guys the worst. They were a threat to God's people. And that is not what Jesus wants to do. Yet today, here's the thing. You call those guys out and you're considered divisive. What is that? You call out the false teachers, you call out the bullies, you call out the nasty people who are the liars. And you know what? People are going to brand you as being divisive. How many of you speak Spanish? Okay, no me importa. You know what I just said? I just said, I don't care. Okay? Jesus calls them out, then we're going to call them out when the Bible does. And I feel no regret about that at all. None. And I was talking with some guys, and they were mentioning some churches, and they go, well, what if you were pastoring there? I go, they would fire me, but that's okay. Sheep are not able to protect themselves. And this is something that's very important. That's what the whole idea is here. They need a shepherd to protect them. And here's the thing. A lot of the wolves are nice. A lot of them are nice, but then some of them are just nasty. And the truth of the matter is, from an eternal perspective, we are unable to care for ourselves. And that's why we need the true shepherd. That's why we need him. Verse 2, Jesus still talking, but he who enters by the door or by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. So what happens? The thief and the robber, they avoid the door. They're not going in that way because they know they're not going to get in. They avoid the gatekeeper, but the true shepherd enters through the door. Now, the Israelites, the people who were raised, you know, we were raised on all different kinds of books and stuff like that. They're raised on the Old Testament. A lot of them, that's how they would learn to read or stuff like that. The religious leaders memorized it. And probably right about now, some of the religious leaders going, is he talking about us? Like, what is this that he's talking about here? They're starting to wonder. Now, the people of God knew this. Moses was a shepherd. King David was a shepherd. They were leaders of the people of God. They were the ideal leaders to a lot of the people. They were not perfect like Jesus is. But in the Old Testament, quite often, God was pictured as the shepherd of his people. And what he would do is he would assign others to watch out for his people and to represent him. And as we said, the religious leaders were often failures, but God then would promise them a Messiah. Let's just do a couple verses about it. Perhaps King David's most famous verse is Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Isn't that beautiful? Later on, he'll say, his rod and his staff, they comfort me. What does he do? He says, he whacks me back into line. That's really what he says. Now, another version says, I shall not want. Another verse says, I have what I need. Now, we talked about this before, but let's remind ourselves again. David was a shepherd, but he was a sheep before he was a shepherd. And that's what made him a good shepherd, because he knew how to be one of God's sheep. So what does God say about some of the guys who were religious leaders or kings who are not very good? Well, let's look at Zechariah 11:17. Woe to the worthless shepherd who leaves the flock. What does he mean? I mean, when somebody calls you worthless, you're like, what do you mean by that? No, you don't question that. You're like, yeah, he thinks I'm nothing. That's a bad job review, right? I'm worthless. Verse 3, Jesus still speaking. To him, the doorkeeper opens the idea of the door. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep. Now, you might want to circle what comes next if you have your own Bible. That's why I think you should bring your own Bible to church by name. Very important statement there. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out of the pen. Now, there's a lot of people who want to wonder who the gatekeeper is. We're not going to go down that rabbit trail. A lot of interesting possibilities, but I think Jesus is just using an illustration. Now, one thing was common for a lot of people in the town would be they wouldn't have enough money or enough space to keep their own sheep. A lot of people, families just own their own sheep. So what they would do, there'd be this one big pen, and they would bring their sheep down and put them in the pen, and they would hire a guy to watch them overnight and pay him to watch the flock. Then the shepherd would come back in the morning, and he would call for the sheep. And they would run to the true shepherd. They would know who their shepherd was. Now, I want to just take a time out here and stop for a second, because I know that many of you from talking to you, have come into the church world with some, let's just call it church baggage. Many of you have felt like you wasted a lot of your life following a false shepherd. You felt like you were following somebody who just tried to manipulate you and control you and do all different kinds of stuff. You say, well, what do you mean? The first couple of years we were here in the church, you get a lot of different people who just pass through to see if, you know, you have the anointing or something like that. And they would come up to me and say stuff like this to me. And they go, Pastor, I'm buying a car. I go, oh, good for you. And they say, what color should I get? And I'd be, what color do you like? And they're like, no, I want to know what's the blessed color. And I'm like, ask my wife. She's an artist. I'm almost colorblind, right? And so they would ask for the stuff, and I'm like, what are you talking about? And they go, well, the church I was at before, if we were getting a new car, we'd ask the pastor what color to get. I'm like, what? What? But that's the way some of it is. Some of you come from these crazy places. I'll give you another one. If anybody clips this on the internet, I'll kill you. You know, if you were to give the first 6 months of your income to the church, God would bless you and make you a millionaire. That is a total lie. That is a total lie. Of course, you won't clip that on, okay? But that's the kind of stuff that people are telling people. Somebody dies, they get an inheritance. Oh, give me all the inheritance. 5 minutes, 2 weeks later, hey, I'm completely broke. I gave all the money to the church. Can you help me? No, you're not trusting God. You see, some of you are nodding your heads. This is how silly this stuff is. This is why we study the Bible. This is why. So we don't believe these kinds of people, okay? So maybe you have spent a lot of time in your life following this false kind of baloney. Today, listen to what I say. It's time to move on. It's time to forget about it. Forget about the bitterness of it. Forget about holding that in your heart. Let it go. Let it go. And start following the Lord Jesus Christ. How important it is to keep our focus on Jesus, the true shepherd. And notice something here, very particular about what it says. He says that the doorkeeper opens the door and the sheep hear his voice and he calls his own sheep by name. Who takes the initiative? Jesus. Who takes the initiative? Jesus. I think too often we think that we have to take the initiative with God. No, he calls us and we respond to him. Very important that we understand that. Very, very important. And here Jesus is clearly talking to the people who belong to him. He calls them by name. You know what that means? That is intimacy. That Jesus knows your name. Can you imagine that? Some of you are looking at me like, really? He knows your name. He just calls you. He says, come. That's the greatest thing that can happen to someone. When the voice of Jesus, you detect he's calling you by name. You know what? It's personal to him. You are personal to him. Now, I often hear God calling my name, except when I don't want to do something. Then he calls me boy. Listen up, boy. But it's personal. And that is despite all of our weaknesses. That is despite all of our failures. But however, I must tell you something. Some of us, we hear our voice and we stay in the pen. And if you're not a follower of Jesus, I am so glad that you're here. I really am. But maybe you're still in the pen. Maybe you've heard the voice of Jesus, or maybe you're even hearing it right now. I always say there's this conversation that's going on, but this one is the more important one, the one between you and God. And maybe Jesus is saying, you know what? Today is the day. Today is the day for you to come out of the pen and start following me, the true shepherd. Yes, it's important. They hear his voice, and what do? They listen and they obey. And they follow him. That shows a true follower, because a lot of times God's going to ask you to do stuff you don't want to do. But you show your faith by doing it. And don't you feel better when you do it anyway? Like you fight him, and then finally you do it, and you're like, oh gosh, why did I wait so long? I don't know about you, I hate walking around with a guilty conscience about something. What is Jesus describing here? He is calling you to follow him. Once again, if you are not a follower of Jesus, he is saying, listen, I want you to turn to me, put your trust in me, and follow me. And I will lead you to places you could never imagine. I will give you the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. This is what we refer to often as, and many of you have been around, we call this the effectual call. There is a call by God, but it actually has an effect on you. It begins to, if you will, it's almost like a magnet that is just drawing you in and drawing you in and drawing you in. Jesus Christ calling you to himself, telling you, I died on the cross for your sins, so you won't have to. So you can stand in front of a holy God without that burden of your sins. Now, some of you might say, I'm already a follower of Jesus, so I'm good here. Well, you know what? There's a good chance you already know that Jesus is actually calling you to come out of the pen to take a new step, to take a new journey. Today, we had my least favorite announcement of all, servants needed. We talked about servants needed. Now, I don't know why some of these people are moving out of New Jersey. We're such wonderful people. How could they leave us? I don't get that, okay? But some people are. Do you know that when our church was much smaller than it is now, there was times we had a waiting list for servants? It's like 9 women in the nursery and 1 baby. They're like, I think the kid's okay, Pastor Jim. I go, well, why don't you guys just decide that a few of you will come in and sit in the back row and well, they'll come get you if they need you. But we used to have a waiting list. Now, you know, post-COVID, everything's just a little different. Everybody's always seems to be all busy and stuff like that. So let me ask you, what is the next step for you? What is it? I don't know. I don't know. Think about it. You know, this is the thing. When it comes to serving, I'm not doing a thing, but we always say this. It's not a life sentence. We're not going to ask you if you want parole, but anyway, you know, it's not a life sentence. You try something, it's not for you, you try something else. That's fine. I was a youth leader for so many years. I really miss it. You know why? I love teenagers. You say, you love teenagers? What are you, crazy? You know why I love them? They're so honest. Like, I love it, man. You know where you stand with them. That's why I love it. There's no like, oh, you're wonderful, pastor. We love you. You know, okay. So it's just, that's the way it is. So what's the next step? Verse 4 and 5. And when he brings out his own sheep, now watch this, he goes before or ahead of them. Let's just stop right there. You see, when they would go out into the fields, right, that's where the shepherd would have the rod and the staff and he would be putting them back in the line. Why? Because a sheep can't really defend themselves against wolves and animals and stuff like that. So when those animals came out, mountain lions and stuff like that, when they came out to eat the sheep, who was out in front of the line? The shepherd. And Jesus says, I go out ahead of you because I am going to defend you against what wants to kill you. And so that's what Jesus says. I go out ahead of them and the sheep follow him for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee. You might want to circle that word flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Do you know that's true about sheep? That there's such a relationship between a shepherd and the sheep that they, a lot of times they name the sheep and they would actually call them by name. So when all those different people, if all those different families came out, they would stand outside the gate and they would call their sheep and the sheep would go right to the proper shepherd. Notice what Jesus is saying here. The shepherd brings out his own sheep. Not like the false shepherds. Remember what it said about the false shepherds, where Zechariah said, you leave the flock, you abandon them? No, that's not the way a true shepherd is. Or what a lot of other shepherds do, and some of you know this, is they drive you for their own agenda. Right? And then after a while, what's sad is a lot of people say, well, I've had it with that church stuff because they think that's what shepherds are supposed to be doing. A lot of people go into churches, they want to know about God. They go into a place and they hear all this ridiculous stuff. They don't know anything about what they're listening to, right? And they're thinking like, this is the guy knows what he's talking about. He's in the pulpit. He's supposed to know this stuff, right? But there's so much stuff that's not true. Instead, Jesus says what? I go ahead of you, and I ask you to follow me. So what is he doing? He's not pushing them hard. He knows, Jesus turns around, he knows that some of the little ones can't keep up. So what does he do? He slows down. He slows down. And that's what a good shepherd does. But also, he's leading them on the right path. He's not leading them some other place, you know, for his own benefit. So, why do God's sheep follow him? Why do Jesus' people follow him? Because they know and trust the shepherd. That's why. That's why we follow him. We follow him because we know he is trustworthy. And this may not be a popular statement, but they actually give the rule of their lives over to Jesus. They say to him, you are worthy of my trust. And they hear his voice. And that's how God feeds his people, through the word of God. That's again why we study the word of God carefully, because that's how we do it, all right? We want to be fed by God, not by me. And that's not a popular message today. People want to hear how wonderful I am. So if I get up here every week and go, y'all's wonderful. Love y'all. Great. Every one of you is wonderful. Great. Love you. God's going to bless you. Come back next week. You'll be rich. It'll be great. It's wonderful, man. Everything will go right in your life. Man, there will be nowhere to sit in this place. There won't be. And I'll be lying through my teeth. Because that's what people want to hear. Yet how important to see that God knows us far better than we will ever know ourselves. Far better. And notice Jesus even goes before his people, even into the darkness of death, so we will not have to taste it. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Right away. Yet the true shepherd returns to his people every morning, calls them to follow him and to gather new sheep. Now, notice what Jesus says here. They flee from the stranger. Now, that's very important. I think that's something that could easily be missed. Sometimes we have to flee from certain people. Sometimes we have to flee from certain people. They're just not true. And many people in Jesus' day were following the false religious leaders, and they still are today. And sadly, they don't see it. They don't see it. Once again, how do they do it? Well, they add to the word of God. Many of you have sat under this kind of stuff. Well, God has given me the fuller revelation. Did you ever hear that one? Oh, my goodness. This book has more than you could ever imagine. More than you could ever imagine. Sometimes I meet people and they say, well, I know all that stuff I need to know about God. Now, you're nice people. You go, really? Oh, that's good. That's good. I go, do tell. Do tell. Tell me what you know. And then we talk about how much they really don't know. And I am blessed to be able to study the Bible most of the week. Take a few hours every morning. Thursday, don't call me. I'm nasty on Thursday, okay? That's my biggest study day, right? You can call me, I don't care. But that's my biggest study day. And each week I realize the less and less I know about God. Because it's not that I'm not learning more. It's just that the subject is so immense. It's just so immense. But these guys say they have the fuller revelation. You know what that means? They're making it up as they go along. That's a translation. That'll be in my Bible translation. And others, they subtract and they call it grace. Others say, hey, it doesn't matter what church you go to as long as you go to a church. Seriously? Seriously? If you're ever with me and somebody says that, just pull me aside. Just go, come on, Jim, we got to move. Because I'm going to be like, You're not serious, are you? You're not serious, are you? We're on a bunch of radio stations, and one of the ones that we pay to be on, we had a large group of givers that supported the radio station, but most of them moved down south. It's not most of it's in Pennsylvania and Baltimore and stuff like that. So we switched our time on there, and I cannot believe the amount of emails I'm getting from people who are like, would you please stay? Would you please stay? Would you please stay? And some of the stuff that they're, the kind of similar stuff that they're writing is just really interesting. You know, they say stuff to me like, we love your honesty. They're like, you're so honest and you're not afraid to say the hard things. You're not mean and you say it. Actually, the funny thing is a lot of them think I'm a lot younger than I really am. Apparently, I have a young radio voice. I have no idea. Do I have a young voice? Yes. Yeah. I do? Yes. All right. How many vote yes? The rest of you can leave. Okay. So anyway, they do that. And a big thing is they go, you're funny. That I'm like, oh, boy. But then they'll say, and yet you tell us the hard things, and yet I don't leave here feeling like a piece of garbage. And the answer to that is simply this: to say what the Bible says and then to do what the Bible does, point people to Jesus. That's how it's done.
You have been listening to Changed by Love, the teaching ministry of Pastor Jim Kevney. Our hope and prayer is that all of our listeners would grow into committed followers of Jesus Christ. And we are overjoyed to play whatever role we can in helping you mature in your faith. Would you like to know more about us? Maybe you would like to pass on this message to a friend or family member. If so, go to our website, changedbyloveradio.org. Maybe you have a question or need some guidance. We don't want to replace your pastor, but we are here to help. Our email address is changedbyloveradio@gmail.com. You may be surprised to know how excited Pastor Jim and the Changed by Love radio team are to hear from you. In fact, it's common for Pastor Jim to pass on your encouragement to the congregation, since we consider all of our listeners part of our family. Would you prayerfully consider financially partnering with us so we can continue bringing Pastor Jim's simple teaching to you each day? Some people give monthly, some periodically, and some others a one-time gift. Every gift helps further God's kingdom, and we all play an important role in that. Simply go to our website at changedbyloveradio.org and click the donate button. Our goal is to simply share the life-changing message of Jesus Christ to you, your friends, your family, and your community. We would love to hear from you, and please let us know what station you hear Changed by Love Radio on. We pray you stay close to Jesus and that you will be changed by love. God bless you.